Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them with me, and you guys can come back in a few minutes. But we're going to go back to the book of Judges, chapter 7. It's where I was Sunday, and I'm continuing tonight in that chapter because I'm not through. And I want you to go there with me. Judges chapter 7. It's the story of Gideon. We began Sunday talking about see it, say it, and seize it. And I focused Sunday on see it. And if you were not here, you need to get the message because it's important. And tonight I want to continue in this story. I won't take time to read it all, but it's the story of Gideon, of how that he goes down and he overhears what they're saying in the enemy's camp about who he is and what God's going to do through him. Sometimes the wrong crowd is worrying. Sometimes we're worrying when it's the enemy that really is worrying. And if you could hear what the enemy is saying about you and about a church like this, it probably would shock us. And then we have the miraculous miracle of Gideon and his army. So I want you to pick it up where I left off Sunday in verse 16. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, an empty pitcher, and torches inside the pitcher. So the pitchers covered up the light of the torch. There was fire. There was a torch, but the glass pitchers were designed in such a way that they would hide the light. And look at the next verse, verse 17. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon." So Gideon and the hundred men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Just as they posted the watch, they blew the trumpets, they broke the pitchers, releasing the light that was hidden, exposing the light that was covered by the glass pitchers. It's so important to understand that. And they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, or they said, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. The whole army ran, cried out, and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion toward the whole camp, and the army fled. He completely defeated their enemies. And I want us to revisit this story. The word victory, according to Webster, means the overcoming of an enemy or an antagonist. The overcoming of an enemy or an antagonist. With 300 men, Gideon experienced one of the most astonishing victories in all of the Bible. And God has a way of taking the underdog. God has a way of taking people who are outnumbered, outmaneuvered, outplanned, and outresourced, and working a miracle in the midst of the madness. I'm saying to you today that God can work a miracle in the midst of your madness. Whether it be the dividing of the Red Sea for Moses, whether it be the addition of 15 years of life for Hezekiah, whether it be the cleansing of the leper in the Jordan River, whether it be the opening of the blind man with a spitball, whether it be the deliverance of a naked, demonized man that was so demon-possessed that he ran through the tombs, whether it be his own resurrection from the dead, God has a way, our God, of proving that he is bigger, that he is greater, that he is stronger than anything that comes against us. He knows how to bring a miracle in the midst of the madness. Just take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for miracles in the midst of the madness. How many of you can admit tonight that are listening to me that there have been times when you were outnumbered, you were outmaneuvered, you were outmanned, but instead of being destroyed, God turned it and somehow, some way, you came out victorious, meaning you overcame an enemy or an antagonist. God worked a miracle in the midst of your madness, and that is called victory. Everybody shout victory. Shout it again, victory. You see, in Judges chapter 7, it's a book about victory. It's a chapter about victory. But in chapter 6, which is, 7 is the number of God, but 6 is the number of man. And in chapter 6, before there's a victory, chapter 6, the number of man, is about a battle. I want to say to you that before you can have a victory, there must be a battle. We can't shout about the victory if we pout about the battle. We can't shout about what God is adding to us on the mountaintop if we cuss about what God is subtracting in the valley. You cannot have a victory without a battle. And in Judges chapter 6 in verse 1, it says, "And they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." God did it. God allowed his people to be turned over to the enemy because they did evil in his sight. I want you to understand that there are negative side effects to stupid decisions. Consequences doesn't mean you're not forgiven. And forgiveness doesn't mean there won't be consequences to your stupid decisions. I think we presented a false gospel when we tell people, come to Jesus and everything gets fixed. There are consequences to stupid. It doesn't mean if you're suffering consequences of stupid decisions that you're not forgiven. Nor does it mean that consequences are a sign you're not forgiven. At the time of the harvest, the scripture said, when they had sown, this is in Judges chapter 6, when they had sown, the enemy came at the time of harvest. At the time when they were about to reap what they had sown for. And the scripture said they came with tents. They came and set up and they said, we're going to stay a while. They came to, quote, destroy the land. The devil always tries to destroy, discourage, and defeat you at the time of harvest. If you're under attack today, it's because it's the time of harvest. And when you want scripture for that, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, when Satan saw that his time was short, he releases all that he has against us because of his time being short. He knows when your harvest is coming. And he can't stop the harvest, but he wants to stop you from being there when the harvest comes. He wants you to give up before the harvest comes. He wants you to throw in the towel and stop believing and stop praising and stop giving and stop confessing the word of God and just give up. He cannot stop the harvest of that, so he can only stop you from being there when the harvest comes. It's time for the harvest. It's time for the harvest. The Bible said that the Israelites were so afraid when the enemy invaded them at the time of harvest that they hid in the caves because of the Midianites. And if you look the word Midianite up, it's interesting. They are descendants of Abraham, and the word Midian means in Hebrew strife. They were held hostage by strife, discord, fighting. Listen to this, at the harvest time. I'm saying to you that if the enemy can't stop you any other way, he'll try to get you into discord, fighting, arguing. That's why you know it's harvest time when your husband gets grouchy. When the kids get the most rebellious, it's usually right before the harvest. When all hell breaks loose, I've learned to just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just when it looks like the enemy's going to win in the ministry, I'll just calm myself and say, stand still. Because without fail, before every major breakthrough we've ever had as a ministry, all hell would break loose. And I've almost learned to get encouraged through discouraging circumstances, because all things are working together for the good to them that are called according to His purpose. Everybody take a praise break and shout, it's harvest time. Hallelujah. And the scripture said in verse 6 of Judges 6, maybe they can throw it up. And they cried unto the Lord. That's the key. When they got in their impoverishment, when they got in their dilemma, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. There's power in prayer. There's power in taking your frustration and your fear and your worry and your discouragement and turning it into prayer. This past Saturday, every once in a while, I like to just come over here, and I like to catch it when there's nobody here, and I did Saturday. It was later in the night, and I came in, and I walked around this building, and I prayed, and I ended up all across the balcony, and I ended up in the prayer tower. I hadn't been up there in a while. And I'm telling you, I lifted my hands in that prayer tower, and the tile in that room we imported from Jerusalem, so that we wanted a little piece of the Holy Land in our building. Maybe you didn't know that, but we imported the floor in our prayer tower from the city of Jerusalem. It was cut out of stone from the Holy Land. And I stood in that prayer tower, and I lifted my hands, and I just began to pray. We complicate this thing, folks. We carry so much, when what we need to learn to do is turn to the power of prayer again and begin to cry unto the Lord. He'll meet your every need. He'll move your every mountain. He'll heal your every disease. He'll save your children. He'll deliver your family. He'll provide every need if you'll learn the power of prayer and crying. Sometimes it's got to be more than just routine prayer. Every once in a while, and I hit something in that prayer tower up there last Saturday, that it turned into tears. It turned into that deep groaning from the Holy Ghost. It turned into that joy, that well of living water that began to flow, that said, I am still your God. And boy, when He fills you, if you will get alone in the prayer place, God will pour courage into your spirit to face everything you have to face and overcome it with victory. Tell somebody, there's power in prayer. Don't you want to pray right now? Just reach over and grab somebody by the hand and say, agree with me, and tell them what you need right now. Do you need $1 million? Tell them. Agree with me. Agree with me. Agree with me. I got a business deal. I need a breakthrough. I'm tired of talking about it, wishing for it, worrying about it. I need somebody to pray. Pray with me and agree with me. God can do anything. God can open a door. God can make a way. God can bless. In the name of Jesus, they cried unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that sound. I love that sound right there. God, awaken prayer in this church again. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands high. The presence of the Lord is in this room. Just worship him a moment. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I didn't understand what you just said. I wasn't talking to you. Howbeit, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So it's not going to take me long tonight. In this next part of the story, I see salvation clear. The Bible said that he said to his 300 men, Gideon did, God told him, you only have 300 against an army that no man can number. Their camels are without number, the scripture said, and the army was as the sands of the seashore. And you only have, started out with 33,000. And God said, tell all of them who want to go back home to go. Now I see salvation in this, because the first step to salvation is repentance. And when you truly repent, you don't go back where you came from. You don't go back to sin. You don't go back to drugs. You don't go back. It's not that you don't fail or you don't fall, but I'm saying the want to in you has changed. Your nature has changed. You may slip, you may fall, but you don't want to anymore. And everything in you says, I gotta. It's like before, everything in you was bent this way. I love sin. I love partying. I love drunkenness. I love immorality. I love it. 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 And no matter how, I got to quit. I'm drinking too much. I got to quit. I love it. I love it. I love it. I got to quit getting around the wrong people. I love it. I love it. And you try to prop it up. I promise I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. Boom. But then you get born again and he changes your nature. And it's not that you don't have temptations. It's just, I'm trying to be a good sinner. I'm trying to enjoy this party. I'm trying to sleep with this girl. I'm trying. But I can't, because everything in my nature wants to please God. Everything in my nature loves him. Even when you're trying to do it, something's crying out, I love you, Jesus. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't like this. This is not me. That's how you know you've been born again or not. If you want to go back all the time, you need to get good and saved. Because when you get, come on, church, when you get good and saved, you start moving in a new direction. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You can be free. You can get delivered. You never have to go back to it again. Somebody shout if you believe God can deliver people. I appreciate counseling. I appreciate programs. We have hundreds of them. We have all kinds. But if you think a counseling textbook is going to change that, try all you want. Go to every counseling session and you're going to do like this. But when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, demons say, we got to let them go now. The blood has set them free. The nature has been changed. Oh, what a change has come over me since Jesus came into my life. I once was lost in sin. What's the rest of it? But Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us. He will. That's how they did those. He will. By and by. I always liked that guy. That one and the one. Feel a little prayer wheel. Y'all know the little guy. They always got the little guy. Just got. Let's keep moving. What else? Okay, let me keep moving. Don't do that. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus was. When Jesus was. When Jesus was, he washed my sin away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. This is your part. Don't sing my part. Oh, happy day. When Jesus was. When Jesus was. He washed my sin away. Oh, happy, happy, happy day. He taught me how to watch. Here it is. You gotta learn how to pray. And then rejoice. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When my Jesus was. Maybe nothing else is good in your life, but I've been washed. Oh, I'm so glad I'm washed. He washed my sin away. Oh, happy day. It was a happy, happy, happy day. A happy, happy, happy day. I don't know where I would be without Jesus. I went under the water, yes I did. I came up brand new because of the blood. It was a happy, happy, happy day. It was a happy, happy, happy day. It was a happy day. Almost through. Y'all stay right where you are. So he gets them down to the water. He gets them down. The next thing is, you know, find out who doesn't want to go. Who wants to go back? If they want to go back, they don't qualify for the Lord's army. Some of you need to make up your mind you're going to serve the Lord. But then the second thing is, he said, if they're going to be in my army, they got to get to the water. I don't know that we understand how powerful water baptism is. But he said, I want them to get into the water. And those who don't get the water part right, tell them to go home too. And the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel. They that believe and are baptized. Now, I know that the baptism is, we're not saved by works. I understand all that. But I do believe in obedience to the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. It's pretty important. Baptism is not an option that you take or leave on a car. You need to be baptized in water, just like Jesus said. And so he gets down now to 300, and the last 300, he says, I got to make sure they've got fire. They need a torch. You shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our God is a consuming fire. This is not about how close to the world you can live and still hang out with Jesus. This is not about, I'm going to do my thing. We totally perverted the gospel. Jesus, take up your cross and follow me. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I want you with me, but I'm not going to take up my cross and sacrifice nothing for you. And you're like, you take up your cross, and I want the good life. And so here we go. I'm almost through. So you see the 300. You see them repenting. You see them, they've been to the water. They've got fire. And all of a sudden, Gideon gets his 300. He divides them into three groups, 100 in each group. He says, be quiet. Put the glass pitcher over the torch. I do not want the fire exposed at this time. And I want us to surround the enemy in groups of 100 and do what I do. And when I break the pitcher and expose the fire, and when we lift our voice and shout, you do the same thing. And the thing, listen to me carefully, that scared the enemy to death, literally, if you read the story, when they did those three things, it scared the enemy to death. They turned on one another and wiped each other out. Two things terrified the enemy. We frightened the enemy to death. What shook them up was the noise and the fire. The noise and the fire. Shout the noise.
Noise.
Shout the fire.
Fire.
Hell's not afraid of our programs. But when we begin to make a joyful noise, and it's not just noise, because if all it is noise and there's no anointing, meaning the fire of the Holy Spirit is the anointer. We need more than beer breath celebrities leading in worship. We need some Holy Spirit anointed worship. If you can get the joyful noise and expose the fire, we get hell's attention because we get heaven's attention. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That's why I say see it and then say it. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, here's what I want you to see. They had the fire, but they had covered it up. Did you see the glass pitchers? They covered it up. Therefore, the breaking of the pitchers was vital to their victory. The broken pitchers would cause the fire to be exposed. What our generation needs is not a church that is ashamed of the fire, but we're ready to expose the fire of the Holy Spirit. We do not need to be closet Pentecostals. We do not need to be ashamed of the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need to break the pitchers and expose the fire and tell people there's a Jesus that heals. There's a Jesus that delivers. There's a Jesus that sets captives free. There's a Jesus that can heal your marriage, and we're serious about it. And this isn't our day job. This is our calling. This is our passion. This is the air we breathe. This is our life. Things are trying to smother the fire. If you leave the fire covered long enough, it's going to smother the fire. So what we need to do, the breaking of the pitchers is very important, because the key to this miracle is If you don't let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn bright in you, it will smother, things will smother. Whatever's killing and hiding the fire and causing the fire to not be exposed in your life, it will eventually smother the faith and the fire and the future of your purpose out. Pictures of doubt need to be broken. Pictures of unbelief. The glass pitcher of addiction, the smothering the fire, it can be broken. Habits, pride, past failures, break the pitchers. And the scripture said when they blew the trumpet and they broke the pitcher and they exposed the fire of the Holy Spirit, the miracle came. What we need is a revival in our souls that brings the noise, which is praise and joy, into our heart that is expressed through the lifting of the hands and the joyful leaping and jumping and dancing and singing and shouting and praising God. The noise and the fire are the key to victory over every enemy and every antagonist that comes against our life. How many of you would love to break the glass pitcher and expose the fire and the noise like you've never? And I'm not talking about just making a racket, but I'm talking about, the Bible said, they that worship, listen to it, must worship, it's not just noise, in spirit and truth. It has to be anointed. If it's not anointed, it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. But boy, when we get the noise, that's why I say it. Say it in praise. Say it in worship. Don't just see it. Begin to say it. And then you'll seize it. Stand up on your feet. Everybody right now say, I'm about to break a glass pitcher that's been smothering my fire. It's time for a breakout. It's time to break out of old habits. Anything, this addiction, sin, unforgiveness, hurt, bitterness, anger. You're letting that smother the fire. And you don't have the noise and you don't have the fire, you don't have the victory. But tonight, whatever has happened, break out of it. And say, I want the fire back in my life and I want the noise, a joyful noise. You know, joy is such a big thing. Turn to somebody and say, joy is such a big thing. There's so many discouraged people, so many depressed people, so many down people, so many hopeless people. We need a joyful noise and we need to expose the fire. Man, that's all you got to do. And people will come running. That's what the world's looking, that's what Haiti's looking for. Joy and fire. Who am I preaching to tonight? This altar call tonight is for everyone in this room who has an enemy or an antagonist that you would like to see victory over in Jesus' name. And that enemy may not be a person. It may be a situation. It may be a voice that's saying you're a failure and you're going to fail. There's another voice, and you need to say what that voice says. You need to see it like I preach Sunday, but then you need to begin to say it. And that's why those kinds of prayers that Dr. Rutland taught us about, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying Psalms 23, praying, that's what you do when your fears are trying to close in on you and tents are being set up over your miracle and over your harvest. You say, uh-uh. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say Psalms 91. I'm going to say Psalms 23. I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to get me a joyful noise. And I'm going to expose the fire on this enemy. Hallelujah. So get out of your seat. If you know this is for you tonight, come on down here. I believe God can do miraculous things on a Wednesday night in this service if his people will believe. Lift your hands high all over this room. And when I count to three, I want you to see the pitcher breaking. If I had one, I'd throw it down on the ground and break the pitcher, just symbolic. But I'm going to do it spiritually right now. I want you to see the pitcher that has been smothering your fire and silencing the joyful noise. I want you to see it breaking and the fire being exposed and the noise terrifying the enemy, the antagonist of your soul, the devil. One, and the moment that we crash spiritually, I want you to open your mouth with the noise and expose the fire. Two, three. Jesus. Make the noise and expose the fire. Let the Holy Ghost pray. Let the Holy Ghost speak. Let the Holy Ghost dream. Let the Holy Ghost give you a picture. Give you a picture of your future. Worship Him. Worship Him. You're in a Holy Ghost service. Anything can happen. There's nothing impossible with God. Make room for healing. Make room for breakthrough. Make room for miracles. Make room for victory over your enemy, over your antagonists, over the voices. Jesus' name.
him a shout of victory tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Woo.
Time, just worship the Lord another moment right now. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Lord, give me boldness. Lord, give me boldness. Expose the fire. Glory to God. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Be healed in Jesus' name. Oh, I feel authority right now. I really do. I pray for boldness because sometimes I fight what the Lord impresses me to do. It's a war going on internally. I did not plan this. God is my witness. I'll face Him on Judgment Day, what I tell you now. When I walked over there and turned back, I heard in my spirit the Lord said, 300. And I haven't put it together in my mind. I haven't thought about it, not a moment. But while I was standing here, the Lord quickened me, and we're 300 away, $300,000 away from the $1 million miracle being done in the marketplace. I'm not smart enough to put that together with a sermon. I didn't know you were coming. We're $300,000 away because we've sent 600, I think it's 690,000. So right at, I'm sure that the rest has come in through the mail this week. So we would be at that 700,000 mark. We're 300 away from a mighty miracle in Haiti. There may be, this is not a gimmick. Nobody's going to make you do nothing or ask you to do nothing. I'm going to ask you just to say, God, speak to me. There may be 300 people here that could give $1,000. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just waiting on God to speak to me. I don't give that way. When you have a generous heart, if you've got it, just like what I said, you make all you can, you save all you can, and then you give all you can. And anytime a need presents itself, it's God saying, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Up to you, not me. I'm going to have my needs met. You can be a part of it or not. And if you don't feel that, then don't do it. God will use you some other place to do something else. But I'm saying that it's generous hearts that God looks for with great resources. That will just, there's a business doctor, Bill Morris over here. I'm not going to embarrass him, but he's given tremendously to that work. Tremendously. Amazing gifts that he and his precious wife have helped us with. And don't say anything about it. Don't want anybody to say anything about it. It's just God speaks to people. I mean, big gifts, massive gifts, world-changing stuff. What about you? You know, We've not taken an offering for the marketplace in Free Chapel as a church. All of the resources that have come have either come through a few of our individual people, like the two that we mentioned tonight, but basically it's all from people all over America and the world. What about you getting involved in it? What about you sowing into Kingdom Connection, our worldwide television ministry? What about you helping us help save the children, feed the children with a miracle marketplace? If we could get 300 in this room tonight, wouldn't that be miraculous? That'd be just like Jesus. If he speaks to your heart, do it. Sow the $1,000. You know what? When God tells you to do it, you'll never miss it. Praise the Lord. And I don't feel like taking up an offering. I'm not gonna make it hard on you. I don't want it to be an easy offering. No, we're not going to pass the bucket when you're not going to give. If you want it, you're going to have to make it happen. But I hope if you're supposed to do it, God will mess with you. There may be somebody here that can write the check for the whole thing. The other side of that is, and this is the truth, I'm just being honest, because every month we've sent 100,000, and Kingdom Connection totally supports, the airtime is totally paid for, millions and millions of dollars by our supporters. Not from your tithe, not from your offering, by our TV supporters. Meaning this, that over the first quarter of this year, we've gone in the red over $200,000 in Kingdom Connection. All that says to me is, God's about to bless us real good. Because we're sowing. He said, when you give to the poor, you lend to God. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing for everybody. It's a faith thing. And there's no doubt in my mind, my God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Do you receive that? You happy? Are you happy? Everybody lift your hands and say, I'm blessed. Say, Lord, I want to be that person that breaks the pitcher, that makes a joyful noise, and exposes the fire to this generation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We love you. Turn to two or three people and say, you got to hear the last part Sunday. You cannot miss the Sunday. I'm going to be preaching. It's Memorial Day weekend, and the fireworks will be going off at Free Chapel. I guarantee you, in the 9 o'clock, in the 11 o'clock service, in the 9 o'clock, the 11 o'clock service, you don't want to miss it. Bring everybody you can. You can come to the 9 o'clock, and you can come in your t-shirts and your sandals, and you can go to the lake right after the service, but be in God's house, and don't stream. If you stream and you're local, I hope God sends you a video of heaven and doesn't let you go. He just sends you a video. It's not quite the same. Not quite the same. That's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God will do something for you in church attendance that you cannot get any other way, including streaming, as wonderful as it is for people in Africa and all over the world. If you're in this area, be in church. Be in church. It's important. Take your family to church. We're blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you Sunday morning, 9 and 11.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.